Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Megillah Chav Dalet. We begin at the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Hakayr b'Torah, when they read the Torah, lo yivchos mishlosha psukim. He doesn't do less than three psukim per aliyah. As we already discussed yesterday, the minimum amount of psukim are three per aliyah. V'lo yikra l'maturgamon yoyser mipasuk echad. They would have a maturgamon, a translator, standing there to translate for the tzibur from Lashon Kodesh to their language, Aramaic. So when you dictate to the maturgamon, you shouldn't do more than one pasuk at a time. This way you maintain clarity, avoid confusion. One pasuk. Dictate a pasuk, translate a pasuk. Uba Navi. However, when you are dictating psukim of Navi, which Rashi explains, doesn't really entail mitzvahs, hayrois, and therefore we're not so concerned about maintaining absolute crystal clear clarity. There you can do it a couple of psukim at a time. Uba Navi Shleisha. You can dictate up to three psukim at a time and have them translate. However, even by Navi, Hayu Shloshtan Shalish Parshis. If the three psukim happen to be three separate parshis, three disconnected parshis, in this case, to read them together would generate confusion. Kairin Echad Echad, we do one pasuk at a time. What about skipping around? Medalgim Benavi. We do this all the time by Haftaris. We pick some psukim from here, a section from there, and we connect them into one Haftarah. We can do that by Navi. Ve'in medalgan b'Torah. But not by Torah. Again, the concern is confusion. We want to maintain clarity. Keep to the topic, keep to the theme. Don't jump around. Ve'ad kama hu medalik. When you skip by Navi, how much can you skip? Ad kedei sheloi yifseik ha-meturgamon, provided that the meturgamon will not come to the end of his recitation, meaning you don't want to keep the tzibur waiting. Rashi says it's not covered tzibur lamud sham b'shtika, disregarding the covered tzibur, having them wait for him to turn the sefer Torah and find the place. So if you can do it quick enough while the meturgamon isn't translating, you're okay. But if it's past that, that's too much. That's not kaved tzibur. So Chazal were very sensitive to the sensitivities of the tzibur. They feel like you're disregarding, you're not being mechabed them. You're not respecting their time. So if they're going to have to remain standing in silence, that's not kaved tzibur. So bottom line is, in Torah we don't skip at all. Navi, you can skip around, provided you're not going to make a tircha de tzibur. Says the Gemara, hani gimel psukim k'neged mi. Every aliyah has at least three psukim. What does the number three correspond to? We had this a couple of days ago. Omar b'asi k'neged Torah, nevi m'ksuvim. And the Tiferes Yisrael explains to tell you that all these parts of Torah, nevi m'ksuvim, all part of the same Tanakh, and are valued as part of Torah. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, you only dictate one pasuk at a time to the meturgamon, as opposed to by Navi, we can allow yourself three psukim at a time. If those three psukim happen to be three separate parshis, then in this case, you can mix them up. You have to read them one at a time, dictate them to the meturgamon one at a time. What's an example of three psukim side by side, which are considered three separate parashiyos? Kigoyin. Kikoy amar Hashem. Chinam kartem. Hashem says, there's a pasuk in Yishayin and Beis. Pasuk Gimel. Kol Yisrael, you were sold, so to speak, for free. The goyim didn't pay anything for you. And likewise, when I will redeem you, I won't pay them for you. I'll just take you out for free. In pasuk Daled we have, Ki koy amar Hashem, Elikim, Mitzrayim, Yored, Ami Barishona, you know, way back, Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, so although they enslaved them, but they took care of them. But then when the other nations took them over, Asher took them into Golis, for nothing. They didn't take care of them at all. So that's the next parsha. And the third parsha, which is Pasuk Hey, reads as follows. Va'ata mali poinu Hashem. Hashem said, what am I doing here in Golus with Klal Yisrael? Look what's happening. The goyim full of pride. Look, we rule over Klal Yisrael. And they attribute it to their own power and pride. And Hashem says, it's a chilul Hashem. Let me take Yisrael out of Golus. So here we have three psukim side by side, but each one is a separate parsha. And therefore, even though it's Navi, we separate them, we dictate them separately to the Metargim. What about skipping? Medalgen b'Navi. Ve'in medalgen b'Torah. You can skip around by Navi, but not by Torah. Ve'ramini. We have a kasha from a Mishnah in Meseches Yuma. Koyre achrei mois va'ach be'osah. Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur gets up and he reads the parsha, the psukim pertaining to Yom Kippur. So the first is achrei mois, in Parshas achrei mois, describing the events that take place on Yom Kippur. And then he skips over to Parshas Emor, Ach Be'Aser, discussing the Karbonis. Vokum Medalik. How could he skip? He's reading the Torah itself. Amar Abayi Lekasha. The answer is like this. It depends how long, how much of a skip it is. Kan Bichdei Shivsek HaTurgum. In our Mishnah, we don't allow skipping by Torah because the Turgman has stopped, has finished, and everybody's kept waiting. That you shouldn't do. V'kan, as opposed to the Mishnah in Yuma, is speaking b'chadei shelo yifsek ha-turgman. It's a short enough skip that would not go past the Turgman. He's still speaking by the time you get to that second location, and you're not keeping the crowd waiting. Asks the Gemara, v'ho alokitani. But in our Mishnah, we clearly learn, medalgim b'navi. You can skip by Navi, but not by Torah. V'ad kama hu medalik. How much could you skip by Navi? Ad k'dei shelo yifsek haTurgman. Provided Turgman hadn't stopped speaking. Otherwise, you're keeping the crowd waiting. So the heter to skip by Navi is only if you're not keeping the crowd waiting. Only by Navi you can do that. Mechlal de b'Torah klal klal lo. Apparently, by Torah you can't even do that. Mishnah says, by Navi you can skip. If you're not keeping the crowd waiting, by Torah you can't skip. Apparently, even if you're not concerned with that issue of keeping the crowd waiting. The reason is simply because you don't want to confuse the listeners. You want to maintain clarity and consistency. It keeps it the same topic and the same theme. So how can he do that on Yom Kippur? Elar Rabaye, says Abaye, I'll tell you the teretz. Like Kashi, the answer is, Kan binin echad. And Yom Kippur, sure, he's skipping, but it's on topic. Both sections, both kriyas, both parshas are pertaining to the same topic, Yom Kippur. So it's not going to create confusion. Kan b'shtei inyanis, in our Mishnah, where we don't allow skipping by Torah, we're speaking when he's hopping from one topic to the other. That's going to generate confusion, and that shouldn't be done by Torah. So bottom line is, we have two separate concerns. Kavod HaTzibur, that's a concern regardless if it's Torah or Navi. You can't keep the crowd waiting. Now, if you don't keep the crowd waiting, you skip over quick enough so that nobody's waiting. So that issue is by the wayside. What about maintaining clarity? Avoiding confusion and throwing off the tzibur? So by Torah, that's a concern. And therefore, if you are on topic, if you're sticking to the same subject, then you can do it. But otherwise, you shouldn't. By Navi, we don't have that concern, even to inyanam is mut. Vatanya, as we learned in a braisa, which supports this pshat, medalgim b'Torah b'inyan echad. You can skip over, even in Torah, if it's the same inyan, because that maintains clarity. Ubanavi b'shnei inyanam. When it comes to Navi, we allow more, even going from one thing to the other is mutter. Because, as Rashi explained, there isn't much mitzvah involved in a Navi. It's more describing events and musr. So even two inyanim are fine. Kan v'kan. But either way, that's only if you don't have the other concern appearing to disregard likavod hatzibur. B'chdei shelo yifsek haturgma. It's only if the turgman is still speaking, in which case you're not keeping the crowd waiting. Tani yidach, we have another brisa. Ein medalgan minavi linavi. You know what? Even by navi, we allow skipping within the same sefer, but going from one sefer to the other, that's I'll throw the tzibur off. Uba navi shal shneim osr medalik, but within the 12 section navi, trei asar, which is pretty much a collection of small navim, and that entire bundle, so to speak, was learned as one, and treated as one. In this case, it's not going to throw them off going from one to the other. They're used to going, it's considered one topic. Ubalvad, but even there, provided shalei yedaleg mi'seifa, seifa l'tchilase, it doesn't go backwards, start at the end of the seifa and go back to the beginning, because that would certainly throw them off. So, in conclusion, regarding being doilig, we have two separate concerns, kavod hatzibur and maintaining clarity. So if the skipping around would generate a delay, in which case a tzibur will have to stand b'shtika, that's going to be a disregarding for the kavod hatzibur, disrespectful, and that you're not meant to do, regardless of whether it's Torah or Navi. The only time you can be medalag is if it's shelo yifsek ha-meturgman. If you can do it quick enough, get to the next location while the meturgman is still speaking, and then he could just catch right on. So can you do that? Well, it depends. By Torah, if it's one inyan, one topic, such as by Yom Kippur, you can do it, but otherwise not. By Navi, we allow even by Shnei Inyanim, but not from one sefer to the other. Except by Trei Asar, where it's really all considered like one sefer, that's allowed, provided he's not going to go backwards. Continues the Mishnah. Hamarfti ben Navi, the fellow who's going to conclude the Kriyas HaTorah by reciting the Navi portion. So apparently this was not considered the most honorable role to play in Shul. It's not really part of the Chiv of Kriyas HaTorah. So being that this fellow volunteers for the job, we're going to give him a consolation prize. We're going to give him some other jobs to make up for it. Hu Peres Al Shema. He will conduct the Peres Al Shema ceremony, which we learned yesterday. Some fellows missed the Tefillah B'Tzibur, but they come back, they want to get their Baruch Hu, their Kaddish. So one person gets up, he says Kaddish Baruch Hu with the first Brach of Krishma that contains Shema. So this person will do that. V'hu Oivar L'fnei HaTeva, he'll be the Chazan. V'hu Neses Kapov, he'll do Brachas Koinim. Now some Rishonim actually take out this line. Why wouldn't he do the Brachas Koinim? It's not a privilege. Every Koin needs to do it. So actually, the Tur Evan learns that perhaps the Mishnah is speaking where the Shul is full of Koihanim, where we know that we're meant to split the crowd. If you only have Koihanim, we have more than 10, so you have some that are going to say the Brachas Koinim, and others that are going to listen and say Amen. We make sure that this fellow gets the honorable slot. He's counted amongst the ones that are going to be Noises Kapov. The Rosh Hashanah has a different pshat. He says, generally, we don't allow the Baal Tefillah, even if he's a Kohen, we don't allow him to be part of the Birchas Kohen. We might get confused and won't find his place when he's done. But in this case, we allow for it. We allow him to be Noises Kapov. Vim Hoya Katan. Suppose the Mafta was a Katan, in which case he's not eligible to be Eir of Ne'ateva and all that. So what do we do to console him? Ave Vayraboy, Eir Nad Yada. You have his father or his Rebbe who do the other jobs on his behalf. Katan Kriya B'Torah. A katan can actually do Kriya HaTorah. That's a chiddush, because as the Mefarshim explained to me, Iri explains, Kriya HaTorah is not, you're not reading to be mitzi others. When you listen to Kriya HaTorah, it's not like you're shemei ka'ina, you're actually being yotze by listening. There's a point of reading the Torah in shul. Bimashmiya, have the words of Torah be heard in shul. Even a katan can do that. Umetargam, and certainly he can translate when needed. He can play in that role. Aval, ein peres al shema, he can't do that. Why? Because he can't be mitzi the tzibur. Ve'ein oyer b'fnei teva, nor can he be the chazan. Let's go over to Rashi, around 5-6 lines up. Katan ein peres al shema. Why? Lefishu bala hoytzi rabim dechevasan. He's trying to exempt them. Ve'kivin she'ein emuchi b'davar, since he himself is not chayev. And likewise, he can't exempt others, as we learned back in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavtes. Nor can he be Noisek Kapov. She'ein kavod shel tzibur liyos kfufin de berchase. Yes? A katan. He shouldn't be the one giving the berchas kainim. It's not kavod. It's not honorable. It's not respectful for the tzibur. They are subject to a bracha of a katan. Now, Tosis points out that, of course, even a katan can join the gdolim as part of his training process. Can join them in berchas kainim, but apparently we're speaking about if he's standing himself, he shouldn't be the one giving birchas kainim. It's not kavarat tzibur. Continues the Mishnah. So he's not oibel fnei ateva, beinu yoseis kapov. That's by the katan. What about pecheich? Rashi explains that pecheich is a fellow who's barefoot, whose legs aren't properly covered. Peiris eshma, he can do that. Umetarkim, he can translate the kriyas haTorah. These aren't really formal positions. Avral einoy kriyas haTorah, he can't be the kriyas haTorah. Rashi says, it's not kavod Torah to approach the Torah undressed like that. Ve'einoy eiver lefnei ateva, ve'einoy yoseis kapov, nor can he be the shliach tzibur, or do brichas kohanim. Why? Because it's gnai hu letzibur. This is disrespectful for the tzibur to be represented by this fellow who's not dressed properly. What about a suma, a blind person, le'elenu? Peres ha-shema, he can do pris ha-shema, even though he's going to say the bracha of Yetzam O'Iris, thanking Hashem for the illuminators. He can do that as well. Umetargim, likewise, he can translate when necessary. Translate the Kriyas HaTorah. But it appears in the Mishnah that to actually read Torah he can't, because he meant to read out of the Sefer Torah, which he can't do. Nisias Kapayim as well. He shouldn't do because, as we're going to see later, a person who's a Baal Mum, a blind man, he attracts undue attention and diverts the mind of the tzibur. So he's not qualified for that. And also, Ayur of Ne'ateva, it appears that there as well, he has to be really proficient and familiar with the words of tefillah. He has to be able to see and study it properly. So other than these two things, Peres HaShema and Metargim, he should not be involved with. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Shelei Ra'a Ma'iras Miyamav. If a person was born blind, he can't get engaged in Pris HaShema. Why? Because he's praising and thanking Hashem, expressing appreciation for the illuminators, the sun and the moon. He was Le'ram Ma'iras Miyamav. He never experienced these illuminators. How can he thank for them? Interesting. Tesis has a kashi here. He says that we find that Rabbi Yehuda himself in Maseches Bava Kama maintains that a suma is Pata Mikol HaMitzvos. So what's the chiddush that he can't do prayers al Shema, he can't do anything, he can't be moitzi anybody, he's pata from all mitzvahs. So he has two terutzim. Firstly, from the Rishalmi, that we're not speaking about a suma mamish. Kol she'ra ma'iras miyamav is speaking a person that was born in a dark room and stayed there. He's never experienced light, but he's not really a blind man, so he's chayv in kol mitzvahs. Va'idi Yishlom, a second teres, he says that even if it's a real suma, true, he's pata from mitzvahs min haTorah, but midrabbanan, they obligated him. They were machayiv him in all mitzvahs. You know why? He shouldn't be a nachri like a guy. At least he should have something to do. Do mitzvahs and adopt the lifestyle of a yid. Oh, so he does these brachas. But still, how would he be mitzi a gadol? How could he be mitzi one who's really chayiv? So he says that since he's a gadol and he's a bardas, he's better than a katan. A katan can't be mighty, a gadol, but a suma, since he's an adult, he's a bardas. Unfortunately, he can't see, but otherwise he's full-fledged, fully capable individual. So Chacham allowed him to be mighty a gadol. Says the Gemara. My time, in the Mishnah we learned that a mafta b'navi gets all these additional privileges. Why? Rav Papa Amar Mishum Kavod. We take his Kavod into account. Since he's volunteering for this second tier position of Vimafta Benavi, so the Masakin to give him extra roles, extra jobs, to supplement the Aftira, to restore his honor. Rabba Bar Simi Amar Mishum De'asir Len Tzuye, concerned that it's going to generate conflict. He'll say, look, I'm doing this for free. and you, Shteach Tzibur, are getting paid, it's not fair, so we give him all the other jobs as well. My binayu. What's the difference if whether it's a covet concern or a monetary concern? Iki binayu, the difference is, David Bechinam. Suppose the Shteach Tzibur in this particular shul doesn't get paid for his job. So that won't create conflict. Nobody's getting paid. It's all Hashem Shammai. But the honor, the covet of this fellow needs to be taken into account. Look, he's doing the Haftarah, which isn't considered a primary role. It's not the highest on the list. It's just a secondary type of thing. So we give him extra jobs to make up for it. Tanan, let's take a look at the Mishnah, which says, V'im hoya katan, this mafta was a katan, in which case you can't give him the extra positions, of a rabbi, even on the other, you have the father, the rabbi taking over. Now, if the concern is creating conflict, you're getting paid and I'm not, why is that concern by a katan? He's not up to that point of life. Katan bar netsuyu, since when is the katan again into conflict? Worried about salaries, that's not his type of thing. So how can you say that's the concern? We find that the concern applies to a katan, and a katan certainly doesn't have this concern. Elamai, says the Gemara, so what do you mean to say? Mishum covered. What's the alternative? Concern about self-respect. Is that the pshat? Then why would a katan be concerned about that? He's too young to be worried about these type of things. Katan bar kovadu, since one is a covered, worried about covered. So either way, it doesn't work. Ella, so you have to say that although the katan himself is not really offended, but Iko covered of it, the covered rabbi, his father's rabbi, are offended. Look, my son is being taken advantage of, my Talmud. Hachanami is here as well. If the concern is creating conflict because he's not getting paid, Iko Natsui, Aviv, Natsui Rabbi, perhaps the father, the rabbi, will get involved. Look, this cotton is being disadvantaged, being discriminated against. He's being worked to the bone without getting paid. So either way, whether it's covered or netsuye, it would apply to a katan as well. So what about this pecheyach fellow, who's not properly dressed? According to Ben Chanan, it seems like he's wearing like a jersey without proper sleeves. He's scantily dressed. Poyres al shma, he can do that. He can do informal things, but not, he can't play in a formal position. Boimene ula barav me'abay. He asked him like this, what about a katan pecheyach? Mao Shikr Batera. Typically a katan could do Kriyas HaTorah. What if he's scantily dressed? Armalei, so he responds, V'tiboylach Aram. You can ask the same if he's totally undressed. Why didn't you ask over there? Aram, my time alay, why didn't you ask over there? Mishum Kavit Sibur. It certainly contravenes Kavit Sibur. It's disrespectful. Hachanami here as well, if he's scantily dressed, Mishum Kavit Sibur. It also insults the Tzibur to have this fellow represent him. There's no question. Certainly a katan has the same halach. What about a summa, blind man? Peres al shema, you can do that. But he can't read from the Torah, etc. Rabbi Yehuda responds by saying, well, it depends. If he's blind from birth, he never experienced, he never appreciated light, then he can't express gratitude to Hashem on this topic. Tanya, but in the Brisa we learn that Amr Loi, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabban responded to him, why did that hold him back? He can still appreciate it. In his mind, he understands what it is. He appreciates it. In fact, harba, we find many tzaddikim that safu lidroish b'merkava. They were drawn to the visions and to the concepts of the merkava, the heavenly arrangement of the shechina. So they were able to visualize it in their minds. Even though they never actually saw it with their eyes. So you can relate to something that you don't see. Rabbi Yehuda responds, there's no connection. Hasam. By these spiritual matters, certainly ba'avnus adaliva, talim milsa. It's connected to one's understanding. Ba'avnus adaliva. The grasp of one's heart. That gives him the understanding. Of course, if he's drawn to it, visualizes it, understands it, he certainly can connect to it. You know, there's a story, somebody came to a rabbi, it was Pesach at night, he says, you know, Leonovi comes to the Seder, I didn't see him walking through the door. So the Tzaddik responded to him, he said, what do you think? Leonovi, you see with your eyes, You see him in your brain. It's a hasaga. It's a spiritual connection. It's a spiritual experience. You don't see it with your eyes. So this Merkava, you see with your brain. But when it comes to daylight, Mo'iris, it has to be tangible. You're expressing gratitude for the tangible benefit provided by the illuminators. In fact, he has no hano, he can't relate to it. So what do Rabbana respond to this? Isla hano. He even has physical, tangible hano. How? A blind man enjoys light. The son, the Rabbi Yosi, called Yom my entire life. Isim etzayir amikrozer. I was distressed. I was curious to know the pshat in this pasuk, which says by the teichacha, you're going to grope around in the darkness. Vayisim emashish betzoraim. You're going to grope around in the middle of the day. Things will be bleak and black and confusing. Kasher yemashish ha'iver b'afei. Like a blind man feels his way through darkness. Now, if he's blind, then he's always groping his way through the area, whether it's light or dark, makes no difference. What difference does it make to the blind man, whether it's dark or night? He can't see regardless. So what does the pasuk mean? Which indicates that darkness is an additional, makes it more difficult for the blind man. I wasn't sure how to understand this pasuk, until I encountered the following incident. I was once walking along. It was pitch black. I noticed the blind man. He's walking along, holding a torch. I turned to him. My son, why are you holding a torch? In any case, you can't see. He tells me, it's not for me, it's for others. To look over, to watch over me. Calls man shavuka biyadai. As long as I'm holding the avuka biyadi bnei adam roi noisi, people notice me. You matzil noisi, they save me. Min abchasen, from falling into pits. Umin akoitzen, umin abarkonen, from bumping into thorns. So now I understand the pasuk, says Rabbi Yosi. Even the iver enjoys the benefit of light and daytime. Because although he himself can't experience it, but others can look over him, watch over him. Make sure he's not injured. He doesn't stumble. So this was the Rabbanan's response to Rabbi Yehuda. Sure, he's a Summa from birth. He never experienced light, but the fact is he enjoys. He has a no. How? Because others look after him when it's light. Okay, so in conclusion, we discussed a katan, a poicheach, and a Summa. We have five categories, five potential roles. The katan can't do prisa shema, he can't be mitzi. He can't be ayof ne'ateva, but he can be kovet Torah. He can be metargim, but he can't be nesias kapa, but not kovet atzibur, to be subject to a bracha of a katan. A pecheach can do informal things, prisa shema, metargim, but not the other formal positions. A suma can be prisa shema, according to Buddha. If he's suma from birth, he cannot. What else can a Summa do? Can be Matargim, that's about it. Continues the Mishnah. Kohen sheyesh biyadav mumin. If a Kohen has some imperfections on his hands, lo yisas kapav, he should not raise his hands and get involved in Birchas Kohanim. What's wrong with that? Says Rashi, five lines from the top. Kohen sheyesh biyadav mumin. V'yisha'om mistaklim boy. He's going to attract attention, if he has a moment. If one gazes at the hands of the kehanim during brichas kohanim, ain't have chaos. He can get harmed. His eyes can dim. Because the shechina rested on their hands. Therefore, we don't allow any kohen who has some sort of element of attraction, whether it's a mum, or like we're going to learn, certain his hands are painted, which can attract undue attention. Don't allow him to do Brichas Kohanim. Now, actually, Tosis over there in Chagiga disagrees with Rashi. He says the Mefarshim explained the Shechina was only in the Beis HaMikdash. He learns differently. He says that the point is Hesach Hadas. We don't want the Tzibur to divert their mind from what's going on. The Rebbe has planned him, the tzibur is meant to pay attention, focus on the bracha coming from Hashem. So actually, looking at the kayanim diverts your mind. It's a diversion. You think it's coming from them, it's really coming from Hashem. V'ani avarachem, Hashem says. Kayanim are merely a conduit, a pipeline for the bracha coming straight from Hashem to us. So the tzibur is listening to Berachas Kohanim, meant to have their eyes down and focus on the bracha coming from Hashem. You're not meant to pay attention to the Kohanim themselves. So I'm really vehicles, emissaries. They're just a conduit. So therefore, any sort of diversion, any sort of distraction on account of the Kohanim interferes with the effectiveness of their bracha, and therefore this type of Kohen is disqualified. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Do Imr, Af Misha Yodav Tzvois Stis. Likewise, a Kohen whose hands were colored with red paint, Lysas Kapov, he should not do Bichas Kohenim, Vipnei Sha'am Mistakim Bay, because he becomes a subject of attention. Continues the Gemara. Tana, we learned in the Brayas. The Mumin Sha'amru, the Mumin that we're concerned about, are to be found with Punav Yadav Raglav, face, hands, and feet, which are pretty much exposed, which can attract undue attention, but if it's covered under the clothing, that's okay. Or Rabbi Shua ben Levi, another example is Yodav Boy Haknias. He has white spots all over his hands that also can attract attention. Lo Yisus Kapov. Tanna Mihachi, the same in the Braisa. Yodav Boy Haknias. Lo Yisus Kapov. Akumas, they're bent. Akushas, they're sort of bent backwards. Lo Yisus Kapov here as well. It's a mum, which is inappropriate for Bichas Kain. Omar Vas, Chayfani, a fellow who lives in the town of Chayfa, Ubeishani, or in the town of Beis Shan, where they have difficult time expressing themselves properly. They speak in a slurred, unclear manner. Lo Yisus Kapov, he as well, should not involve himself in Brichas Kohanim. Tani Nami Hachi, of the same in a Braisa, Emoridin Pnei Ateva. Likewise, when it comes to a Chazan, we don't do a Chazan Lo Yanshe Beis Shan, Lo Yanshe Beis Chayfa, nor Lo Yanshe Tivoinin from this town of Tivoin. Why? What's wrong with these fellows? Because instead of an aleph, which is a, they will express it as an ayin, a. Ula ayin, alfin. And likewise, they'll switch the ayin for the aleph. Rashi points out that b'brichas kainim, there's extra concern with this because yoyer Hashem panim elecha, yoyer with an aleph, Hashem will express his mo'ir panim to you. If it's turned into an ayin, it can change the meaning drastically from a bracha chas v'sham to a klala, because ya'er yud ayin reish, says Rashi, the lashon of klala. So you have to take care that the shliach tzibur and the kehanim should have proper diction. Amalei Rabbi Chia, he told Rab Shimon, the son of Rabbi, by Rabbi, il mali ata levi, if it were to be that you were a levi, posel ata min haduchan, you wouldn't be qualified to join the Levim on that stage to say Shira. Why? Mishum de Avi Kalach. He have a thick voice and not melodious enough to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Asa, hearing this, so Shimon went to his father. Asa, Amrle Lavua. So he went to his father, Rebbe, to complain. Amrle, so Rebbe responds, Zil Emrle, you know what? Go back to Rebbe and tell him that you as well speak in a slurred manner. What happens when you reach the pasuk in Yeshayah v'chikisi l'Hashem? I'm anticipating Hashem's response, Hashem's Yeshua. Now you have a problem with a ches, like l'hadol the game today. They say Chaim instead of Chaim. So Rebbe Chiya had that difficulty. And when you get to that pasuk, lo nimtzis mecharef megadef, it'll turn out that you're blaspheming, you're so to speak cursing this. Speaking disrespectfully to Hashem, because instead of v'chikisi, I wait, v'hikisi, I strike Hashem chas v'shalom. So don't start out with my son. Now, of course, there's a deeper meaning behind this whole back and forth. Chassam Sefer suggests as follows. He says that Orab Chi was trying to tell Reb Shimon was as follows: you're the son of Rebbe, who is a nasi, but you should know you can't expect the nasius to carry over to you, because all the mumen that affect Kohanim and Levim and Migdash affect the Nasi as well. So you're disqualified in serving in that position. And the response was, no, Rabbi Chiya, you also, how could you be a dayan, a rav? Gemara Sanhedrin says that even a dayan has to speak clearly and can't be mumbling and then slurred. So if it works for you, then it works for him. Tesis actually points out, based on the Gemara and Bava Metzia, that, you know, Rabbi Chiya, with difficulty, he can express himself properly. It wasn't like it was impossible. In fact, it was a story that he was appointed Shliach Tzibur, a time of a fast day. So, Ali Dei Terech, he can express himself clearly. So perhaps that's what he meant, that the condition isn't so severe by you, nor is it by my son. Amar Rav Huna, Zivalgan, a kohen who has a tearing, his eyes is tearing all the time. So this Zivalgan condition disqualifies him from Birchas Kohenim. Well, he says Kappa because, again, it can attract attention, which is inappropriate for Birchas Kohenim. Asks the Gemara, really? V'ho, ha'hu, there was this Kohen, the Hava B'Shevavusei, the Rav Huna, who resided in Rav Huna's neighborhood, who was a Zivalgan, who had this tearing condition. V'hava Paris Yadei, he was involved in Birchas Kohenim. Answers the Gemara, ha'hu, that fellow, Dosh B'Iri Hava. He was a familiar sight in town. Everybody knew, oh, he has the Zivalgan. And it wasn't something that would attract any attention. They were so used to and familiar with it. And therefore, it's okay. Tani nami hachi. We have the same concept in the Braisa. Zivalgan, a kohen who is experiencing this condition. Lo yusas kapav, but v'im hayadosh bi'iroi. If he was a local personality, part of the community, they were accustomed to this fellow with his condition. And therefore, no longer attracts attention. Mutar, he can be pyrus as kapav. Atosis adds that this heter of dosh bi'iroi applies to any mum, even mum bi'yadai. Means the Raya from the Yerushalmi. The point is regularity, familiarity. If they're accustomed to it, then the concern of attracting attention doesn't apply. Other Rishonim, Rav Amram of Harm, he disagrees. He says that the Gemara is dafka speaking about these semi-serious conditions, and Zivalgan, or likewise, not a blatant mumim, which are sure to attract attention regardless. Amar Bi'echnan, Suma Bachas Meinav, the Kohen is blind in one eye. Lo Yisas Kapov, he should not engage in Birchas Kohenim. The Bir Alach, the Mishnah Berurah brings, of course, we're speaking that he's visibly blind. You see something wrong with the eye arrangement, Chas V'Shalom, but if it's just a fellow who's lacking, doesn't have the ability to see, but his eyes look perfectly normal, then the concern doesn't apply because he's not attracting any unnecessary attention. What about this fellow, this Kohen who lived by Rabbi Yechanan? Dava Paris Yadei. He was a blind man, and he was involved in Birchas Kohenim. And says the Gemara, Hu Dosh B'Iri Hava, same as before. The fellows in his town were already Regilin, Rashi says Regilin, and they were no longer noticing him. Tani Nam Yachi, the same in the Braisa. Suma Bachas Meinov, even if he's blind just in one eye, he says Kapov, he shouldn't engage in Birchas Kohenim, but V'imahoya Dosh B'Iroi, if he was a regular person, part of the community, Mutar, then it's fine. Rabbi Daimer, Misha Yadav Tzvois, this fellow whose hands are colored, Lo Yisus Kapov, he shouldn't engage in Birchas Kohenim. Tana, we learned in Braisa, but Imroi V'Anshir Ir, Malachton B'Kach Mutar, if most of the townspeople were painters and walking around with red hands, then it's no longer an attraction and it's Mutar. Some of Farshim Medayik in the Gemara, it seems like here we don't have the heter of Dosh B'Iroi. Suppose he was a painter, but nobody else was. So although it's something that they're familiar with, they're used to it, but still a brightly colored pair of hands really attract attention. So only if Rav Anshir Malachtan B'Kach, everybody's most of the town were painters, were artists, and they're all walking around this way, so it's a common sight. It's not exciting, and therefore it won't attract attention. But others learn differently. No, the Gemara is just citing an example. Rav Anshir Malachtan B'Kach mitigates this concern, and likewise, if he's a local fellow, and everybody sees him all the time with red hands, he as well, the concern is non-existent. Continues the Mishnah. Omer, Eini Eiro Lefnei HaTeva B'Tzvun. This fellow was asked to be a Shliach Tzibur. He says, look, I'm wearing a colored shirt. I can't, sorry. Af B'Levonim L'Yavar. In this case, we say, even if he's wearing a white shirt, switch, or next time around, we don't ask him to be a shliach tzibur. Or, besandal any over. He says, look, I'm wearing sandals, I'm wearing shoes, I can't represent you. So concerned that perhaps this person has an agenda, af yochef layaver, even if he's barefoot, he can't be sent up. Even if he's willing to go up without shoes, we don't send him up. And the Gemara explains, we're concerned that he's a min, he's a heretic, he adopted these non-Jewish practices. So if he has all these interesting stipulations, we just drop him, and we no longer use him as a shliach tzibur. Ha'isa tfilasi agul. If a fellow produced round tefillin, sakana, you should know it's a sakana because it could bump into his head if it's a round pair of tefillin without a flat base. It can be dangerous if it gets bumped into his head. Ve'im ba mitzvah, you should know that he's not being mekayim the mitzvah. Tefillin have to be square. Taisus brings from Rabbeinu Tam. The Mishnah means, b'shas ha'sakana, suppose it was a gzeir not to wear tefillin. This fellow is going to wear his round tefillin. He should know. He's doing two things. Two things wrong. Firstly, he's not getting a mitzvah. And secondly, he's placing himself in undue sakana, thinking that he's being meisa nefesh for tefillin. It's nothing. It's not tefillin. He's not getting the mitzvah, and he's placing the sakana. Sakana of eima mitzvah. Nosnal mitzvah. Suppose this fellow decides to put his tefillin right on his forehead. Says, Bahu Tatav is Bein Einecha. Now, Chazal Dash, Bein Einecha means on the hair portion, which corresponds, it's opposite to the space between the eyes. This fellow takes the pasuk literally, like they mean him. He puts it on his forehead, Be'al Pas Yodai, or on his hand, on the palm of his hand. It says, Ukshatim Lo Yisal Yodecha. The Chazal interpreted it to mean on the upper portion, at the muscle area. How is the Derech HaMinus? It's the Derech of Minus. And it's certainly not Yaitz. What about Tzipon Zav? He decided to go the extra mile, takes his tefillin and gold plates it. So he's trying to go extra, trying to be machmer. But of course, it's inappropriate because you can only use materials, Rashi says, from Behema to Hira. So he gold plates his tefillin. V'nosna al beis unklishle, or he places it on his sleeve. He wants everybody to see it. The more people that see it, the better. Publicize mitzvah tefillin. Chazal learned, V'hei l'chalo eis al yadcha, it should be your sign. It's a private affair, you and Hashem. It's not meant to be publicized over and placed over your clothing. This practice represents derech hachitzoinim, who are out of the loop, so to speak. They're following their own mind, mindset, their own hashkafa. They're trying to add and enhance the Torah for no good. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi here is about 20 lines from the bottom. Af b'levanim le'yavar, tamim farsh b'gemorah. Oysa tefilasa agula, tefilin shabaroyshe, agula kebeso ke'egris. So his tefilin shabaroyshe is round like an egg, like a nut. Sakana, shetekanis baroyshe. Ve'im ba'mitzvah, why? Demiru bois binan, they have to be square. Nosnal mitzvah shalroyshe. So he puts the shalroyshe on his forehead, vishal yad, he puts it al pas yaday on the palm of his hand. Harezu derech haminus. Shemavazin midrash chacham. They disregard Torah shebal peh. V'hoichen achar mashma. They follow the literal wording of the Torah. Kimashmoin. It says, B'nei necha mamish. V'yodcha mamish. Rabbi seinu dor shebimonoches. But we know. Rambam says that every mitzvah was given with an explanation. It must be so. Because it's pretty clear that the Torah doesn't really elaborate much on mitzvahs. So it must be that it was given with another handbook, with another explanation. And we know Torah shebal peh. That's the skull, top of the head. That's where the baby's head is a bit soft. That's the tefillin shel roish. And what does val yad chamin? Doesn't mean on the palm. Goyva hayad, at the upper portion. Kiboris, where you have that muscle there. Baroish hazroya, should be near the heart. In the final case of the Mishnah, he plates his tefillin gold, or places al beis unkli, al beis yad levushim b'chutz on his sleeve. Hariz derech hachitzoinim. And the adam ha'alchem achrei daitam. They concoct their own interpretations. Chutz midas chachamim. Out of the framework. Beyond the add to the chachamim. The be'inan l'chala ois. V'loy l'chayim l'ois. So placing on one sleeve contravenes the drasha It's meant to be your ois, private. Without a chayim, not be seen by others. That's why we covered the tefillin with a sleeve or whatever. Tzipon zav. That's also a concern. Nami k'siv l'man tiyer to es Hashem b'ficha. So the material used for tefillin has to be mutar b'achila. Sheh ha'koil b'hima toira. We learned that it has to come from a kosher animal because, although gold is kosher, but we learned that it needs to be made from material that can be either kosher or not kosher. Gold can only be kosher. The fact that Torah requires something which is kosher indicates that it can, has the potential to be not kosher. So animal material can be either kosher or not. We have to use that type of material. Animal material from Behemoth Torah. Continues the Gemara. So this fellow who hesitates, refuses to serve as a shliach tzibur wearing colored clothing, wearing a sandal, that's it. He's off the list. My time and why? Chashinan were concerned. Sheva minus. Nizr kabay. Perhaps he was influenced by the minus. Rashi says, Haminim oidav dezorim akpidim akach. And actually, the censors took out some crucial words from Rashi. Koimrim talmida yeshu hanoitri. Makpidim akach. The students, the ones that adhere to Yeshu hanoitri's religion, Christians, they had this kapeda. White clothing, barefoot, as many do today. So, this fellow expresses this type of hesitation, concern that perhaps he was influenced by that worldview, and he's disqualified from serving as a shliach tzibur. Continues the Gemara, ha'isat filasa agula, sakana ve'ema mitzvah. If it's filling around, it doesn't work. Le'ema tanina, perhaps Al-Mishn is a raya, l'hal tan rabbanu, to the following brayza, which says, tefillin merubois, halachal mashmissina, tefillin have to be square. V'amarav. Not only the box itself, but betafron, belachsoinan, which means that the base, where you actually stitch, should be square as well. So when you sew it, make sure it retains its squareness. According to Rabbi Natan, brought here in Tosfos, the tefillah itself, the stitching itself, has to come across like a square, like we do today. We stitch it in a square. Belachsoinan means that you should check its diagonal as well. So you form it as a square, but then you double check to see if the diagonal is 1 2/5 to the straight angle, which is the formula provided by Chazal. The al-achsin is 1 2/5 of the straight angle. You have to really make sure it's a square. Now, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes, Rabbi Chinuch writes, that, of course, lunitim teru l'machla shoris, we're not angels, we're not going to get it exactly right. That means that it should appear. It should appear like it's square. And actually, Ramesha points out that the formula provided by Chazal, we have this in Sukkah and elsewhere, that Alachsoinan, the fact that we assume the angle, the diagonal is 1 2/5 of the right angle, isn't exactly accurate. The Gemara itself says it's not, Tosfos says it's not exactly accurate, but it's a formula that we follow. And therefore, says Ramesha, the Gemara just means that you have to follow this formula as close as possible, try to get it as much square as you can. And regarding the height, by the way, the height of the box, the Rambam writes, L'chatchila, it should also fit, it should also be the same size as the Reuchav, as the width and the length. It should be a perfect square, but the Rambam writes, we're not noyig to be concerned about the height. So the actual box above the base should be squared, and the base itself, including the tefillah, as per Rabbeinu Tam's pshat in the Gemara. In any case, is our Mishnah right? Perhaps it is. You can't use a round tefillin. Indicates you need to have a square tefillin. Amar Papa, no. Masnissen, the case in our Mishnah speaking, the Avida Ki Amaguza was formed like a round, like a nut, like a ball, like an egg, like a nut. So the base itself was also round. Perhaps that's why it's possible, but perhaps if the base would be flat, maybe that would be kosher, despite the fact that the box itself is round. So from our mission, you don't have a riot to this extent. Rather, we need a brisa to tell us clearly that tefillin merubois, that tefillin have to be square all around. And we learn it from Halacha L'Moshe M'sinai. Okay, let's do a quick chazara on today's daf. So we learned about the fact that the Koreh Torah reads at least 3 psukim, k'neged Torah Nevi'im Muksuvim. When he dictates to the Maturgamon, it should be 1 pasuk at a time by Torah, by Navi, 3 pasukim at a shot is okay. And if it's 3 separate parashias, then you do it 1 at a time. What about skipping around? If it's going to inconvenience the crowd, It's going to be past the Meturgamon. He's already stopped translating. You're still rolling the Sefer Torah. That's a problem. But if it's within that time frame, it's going to be Leif Sekha Meturgamon. Well, it depends. By Torah, we want to maintain clarity, stay on topic. So if it's one Inyan, it's okay. By a Navi, even if two Inyanim is okay, if it's in one Sefer. By Treyasa, you can skip around from one Sefer to the other, but not L'mafri. We learned that the fellow who was being the mafter, who was taking on that job, which is a sort of a secondary role in the shul, he gets additional honors as well. He's Paris El Shema, he gets the shots, etc. If it's a katan, we give it to the father of the Rebbe. What's the concern? We have two options. He might be offended, or it might create machlokes that he's doing this for free when others are getting paid. What about a katan? Or a pecheach, a fellow who is scantily dressed, or a sumah, when it comes to various roles in the shul. So a katan can be kari batera, can be matargim, but otherwise he should stay out. A pecheach can be involved in informal activities, peres hashma, and be matargim, but that's it. A sumah can even be peres hashma, according to Rabbi Yehuda, not if he's blind from birth. He can't really appreciate the moiris. Rabbanan disagree, says he also has benefit from it, others can guide him and watch over him. And it can be Matargan. But it can't be Karabat Torah, can't see. It can't be Shteach Tzibur. It can't be Nesias Kapov. And the reason is because, as we're going to learn soon, any mum generates unwanted attention, which is problematic by the Kohen. So in fact, we learned that a Kohen who has mumen in exposed areas, Panav Yad V'Raglav, should not be Nesias Kapov because the Am is Mestaklin Boy. So this is a concern, whether it's mumen, or whether it's some tseva paint that he has all over him. But as we learned later, if it's dosh bi'uri, and they're accustomed to the sight, it's not going to attract attention, it's mutter. What generates a concern of minus? If he insists on davening dafka with white, or without sandals, putting his tefillin shabroish on his forehead, or on his tefillin shagat on his hand, that's derech minus. Gold plating the tefillin, placing it out for all to see, that is derech hachitzoinim and should be avoided. And we learned about tefillin merubois, halacha l'moshe misinai. Haslacha to you and all the best and psurus tevis, aleinim al kol Yisrael.